church here in the county. I appreciate this young man. The Lord transplanted him out of Georgia and put him in the great state of North Carolina. And there's a few things he needs to work on, but he's doing real good up here. I love him and appreciate him. And I want you to hear him gladly. He's God's man for this time right here this morning. And you listen to what God's put in his heart to say. I love you, brother. Amen.
Amen. It's a privilege to be here this morning. Appreciate the opportunity to stand in this place another time. And thank the Lord for what camp meeting means to my heart and to my family and what the Lord has done in my life in these years that we've been able to come. And I praise the Lord for that work that he's done in my heart through these days. I thank the Lord for Brother Steve, for what he means to our hearts. And he's very kind. He's not just a moderator. He's a gracious host. And all behind the scenes work, I'm appreciative. Brother Steve, let me say something else before I take my text. I want to thank the Lord for all the workers, men parking cars. And I want to thank the men in the sound booth. They get overlooked. And I thank the men that run the sound. There's a man back there this morning. We didn't know if he'd be here. But I'm thankful Brother Dennis is back there able to run the sound. And God intervened. And I thank him for his goodness, for all he's done. This morning, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. The Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9. I appreciate the preaching that we have already heard this morning. It's challenged our hearts. Thankful for the preaching we've heard each service. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 9, if you would, find your place, willing and able to stand for just a moment. Luke 9, verse number 37. It came to pass that on the next day, when they were come down from the hill, much people met him. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is mine only child. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. And Jesus answering said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither. And as he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tare him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. One verse in verse 43, and they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. For just a few moments, I'd like to preach on that phrase there toward the end of verse number 38. Look upon my son. I had been praying about what the Lord would have us to preach. Brother Tom preached the other morning about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I saw Chuck and Rakin go down to the altar. I was sitting on the back pew, and I could hear about every word Chuck was praying. And the Lord settled in my heart this message. Look upon my son. In Matthew 17 and Mark 9, it contains the same account as Luke 9. In every occasion, the story is preceded by the Mount of Transfiguration each time. But in just a few verses we find in our text, we find ourselves going from the glory of the mountain all the way down to a demonic demonstration in the valley. We go from the high place down to the low place. From the glory of God in the mount down to the trial in the valley. It is on the mountain that Jesus Christ dominates in his bright, shining majesty. In the valley, it seems that Satan is dominating in his ugly and cruel violence. There are two sons that appear in our text this morning. One is God in the flesh, while the other son is demon-possessed. There is one son who God the Father had just issued and said that this is his beloved son in whom he is well pleased. Hear him. The other is the son whose father is tortured and has great displeasure in his life. One son is fulfilling the plan of the father, while the other son is disconnected from society, and it seems that he is living without purpose. One son in our text is being destroyed by demons, while the other son is the destroyer of demons. In the grand scheme of it all, we have two sons in our text this morning who are both given back to their father. The demon-possessed son will be delivered and given back to his father, and the Son of God will be crucified, buried, risen, and ascend back to the Father. But the question that I have this morning is, how in the world is Jesus going to go from this mountain experience of transfiguration, having a conversation with Moses and Elijah, talked about by God the Father, and arrive on time to meet up with his father with a demon-possessed son in the valley? It's a very simple answer, and it's been given much detail here at camp meeting the past few days. It's only by the divine providence of God. It's interesting to note in the Word of God that the word providence is only mentioned one time. It's mentioned over in the book of Acts, chapter number 24 and verse number 2. But when the word providence is mentioned, it is used there in reference to human providence, about thinking in advance, but yet divine providence saturates the pages of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. I believe in the providential hand of God. You say, preacher, how do you know? We're talking about the providence of God. Verse 37, the Bible says, and it came to pass. That phrase in the Word of God, it came to pass, that is a little marker in our Bible that speaks and reveals the providential workings of God in history, which is his story. In our Bible, 463 times, we read in the blessed pages of God's Word that it came to pass. And 40 of those 463 times, they occur in the Gospel of Luke alone. Divine providence this morning is the evidence that God has not left this world alone, nor has he forgotten at any moment of time the human situation. I'm glad that God visits and God touches and God communicates and God controls and God intervenes and coming before us and this world in order to help in our needs. I read one writer, he said, providence is the grounds for thankfulness. I'm thankful this morning for the providential hand of God. R.C. Sproul, he said, God never rolls the dice. Brother Tom says, God's got no plan B. I say, hallelujah. Nothing happens by chance. God is in control. God makes no mistakes, and he knows how everything's going to turn out. He cares, and I bless his name for his providential hand. In verse number 37, it came to pass on the next day. That's important. It came to pass on the next day. They didn't come down from the mountain the day before and go along in their journey. No, the Bible says by the divine hand of God, they came down on the next day. Jesus is coming down the mount with Peter, James, and John. And the Bible says in 37, when they were come down from the hill. You say, what is he doing coming down the hill? I can only think, as Brother Bagwell illustrated it with the church hymn on the other night, that sometimes in our life he dropped the book, Preacher Bagwell, he just drops in. Amen. This is Jesus divinely appointed coming down to drop in on the situation that is taking place in this story. We have him coming down. Brother Moneyham talked about it yesterday, preached about it. Hey, listen, it seems when we're at our wits' end, on those day 4 days that we have in our life, I'm thankful that in our story as well this morning, I'm glad day 3 shows up. I'm glad Jesus makes his presence known in the midst of the conflict and this situation. I'm glad God, he's not a minute early and he's not a minute late. Thank God he's always on time. And I thank God for the providential hand of God. I'm thankful for how he's worked in my life. I'm thankful for how he's worked in your life. But here as he comes down the hill, we've got a problem. We've got a problem. In the midst of this problem, we find in our text this morning that there is a problem of possession. We've got a father with a son who the Bible says has a spirit. We know through the study of the scriptures and referencing to Matthew and Mark that this boy is demon possessed. Now this is not anything new to Jesus. This is not something that he's wringing his hands about, wondering what he might be able to do in this situation. Demons were always around. They're still around today. But when Jesus was on the earth, they didn't want to be uncovered. They did not want to be revealed. They couldn't help themselves because Jesus unmasked them and he exposed them when he encountered them. Never before or after in history had there been such a manifestation and a presence of demonic activity as during the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how do you know that? It's because Jesus blew their cover every single time and he delivered people from the power of these demons. I'm glad Jesus can see what we can't see and what we don't see today. I'm glad he's able to have power over disease. He's got power over death. He's got power over nature, and he's got power over the demons. In our text, we have a most severe case of demonic possession in our Bible. In Matthew 17, this father, he presents his son as lunatic. He says, my son is moonstruck. He's crazy. He is sore vec. Lord, my son is not in his right mind. He is being controlled by something else in his life. And Jesus had asked the father before he heals him how long that this child, his son, had been this way. And the father's answer, he said, of a child. By reading other writers, studying out, it's possible by now this boy could have been a teenager somewhere along that line. I want you to realize with me that this father, he's got his son, and he's not just been dealing with his son for just a couple of days. It hasn't been just a rough stretch of days. No, this man and this family has been going through this possession of this child since he was a little child, and many, many years of unbelievable and unbearable and indescribable horror had come upon this family. You say, how bad was it? In Matthew 17:15, he explained to Jesus, he said, oft times he falleth into the fire and often into the water. Fire and water was an issue for this boy and for this family out there where they live. There were open fires all the time, especially in the winter when it was cold. They, up on that hill, there would be open fires, and that demon would take that boy and possess him, and he would slam him toward those fires and into that fire. They had to be very careful whenever they got near to a fire. They would try to to stay away. But whenever a fire was present, that demon would slam that boy into the fire. I can only imagine. I can only guess. This boy, undoubtedly, he had the marks of fire burns upon his body. But not only were the fires an issue, but water as well. We're talking about water where there were wells and where there were pools of water. Whenever there was such a place, that demon would slam and take that boy in efforts to take him, to drown him in the water. Water and fire was an issue for this family. Not only that, but what's interesting about this boy and the spirit that possessed him is that Jesus in Mark 9 verse 25, he called it a deaf and dumb spirit. This is awful. Here's a boy that is so dominated by a demon that when he's possessed, he cannot hear and he cannot speak. And the demon is doing everything to slam him into the fire and drown him into a pool. And the father and the family all day long, all year long from this, they have to try to do all that they can to protect him and all of this. But when the demon has his way, they can't communicate with him. They can't talk with him. He can't talk with them because this demon has controlled him in every physical facet. What I'm saying this, it was beyond this father's control. He could not do anything for his son to get him where he needed to be. He was at his breaking point. He was in need of some help. This father understands that this is a demon spirit who suddenly comes upon this boy. And the Bible teaches us whenever it happens, it calls the boy to scream out, exhibiting the control of this demon upon the vocal cords as well as his body would throw him into a seizure as he slammed his head upon the ground, probably causing concussions and to traumatize the brain, and it would cause the foaming of the mouth. The Bible says in Mark 19, says he foameth, he gnasheth with his teeth, and he pineth away. The word pineth away means that this boy was in such a place that he really didn't have a good diet. It had controlled so much of his life that his appearance was affected by it. It means that he was weak physically. It means that he was lean. He didn't look like much. And there was no stop. There was no rest. And this boy, he was weak and needed help. But I thought about this problem, and I've thought about our day. There's a lot of things that our young people, our children, and our grandchildren are exposed to today. They're exposed to so much on technology and social media today. Now, young people, they may not be possessed, but listen, if we're not careful, our young people will become obsessed with the things of this world, and it will affect them in their what they're doing in life and how we desire for them to live. If we allow them to get into things and run into things, and we don't look over them and watch them and pray for them and get them around the house of God and put an emphasis on the things of God, we're going to allow them to run right out of here. They'll be obsessed with the things of this world. I want to tell you what, I'm burdened for the younger generation. They're exposed to many things. They see a lot of things in this day. And my friend, I want to tell you, ever since last March, I'm telling you what, there's been a lot of exposure. There's been more people on the internet, more people looking at different things. Media is controlling the thoughts of not just our young people, but older people alike. And fear has entered into the minds of people today. And listen, it's taking its toll on people today. Not just in the world, but listen, even people that assemble with the church. But I want to say something else quickly about the problem. There is this thing about possession and prevention. Listen, he went to the disciples that day, and he said, they went to him, They looked at him. They tried to do it. They saw his case, and they said, there ain't nothing we can do for this boy. There was unbelief. There was unbelief. They said, we can't help him. We can't do anything. There's nothing we can do to help your son. Now, I'll tell you what, that father, he didn't give up hope. That father didn't stop. Even those disciples said, there's nothing we can do. About that instant, somebody said, there he is. He's coming down the hillside. There's Jesus. I believe that daddy got that boy and started running. It says they went running. And I believe that dad took that boy and run as fast as he could to get to Jesus. And he worked his way through that crowd and said, I've got to get to him. I've got to get to him. I've got to get to him. I got to take my boy to Jesus. I got to get him there. And when Jesus got there, he laid his boy down. And the Bible says that father, he kneeled before the Lord and he said, Lord, 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 I need your help. Have mercy on me. Lord, can you please look? Look upon my son. Lord, I know it's crowded. I know there's a lot of people here. But Lord, he needs your help. I need your help. Lord, look upon him. Look with care. Look with concern. Lord, would you consider my boy? Now, I want to tell you what, that's where we got to get today. I want to tell you what, we got to be honest. We got to be honest. We need him today. These young people need the Lord. And we need to get these youngins back in an altar. And they need to hear mom and daddy praying again. They need to hear grandma and grandma praying again. They need to see the saints of God get back in an altar and praying for them. Hallelujah. They need to hear our name. They need help today. But I'm glad hell, Brother Steve, was on the way. Hallelujah. The whole time that daddy was coming looking for help, there was somebody who had just been transfigured. And thank God, he's coming down the hill in the providence of God. He's coming to help that little boy and that son when nobody else could and nobody else would. Hallelujah. Jesus, our day three, shows up and he delivers. He delivers and he heals that boy. Oh, may our prayer be today, Lord. Look upon my son. Oh, we need him to look upon us and help us. Oh, you can take him a lot of places. You can take him to the ball game. We take him to all kinds of places, State Park. I'll tell you what, we got to take him to him. I close with this story and I'm done. A couple years ago, I went to Loudoun Baptist Church. There was a girl in the congregation, Miss Haley. She was depressed. She wanted to die. Is Haley here today? I don't even know if she's here. I'll tell you what, she wanted to die. She was in a dark seat of depression. And for 2 years, 2 years, she battled that. She's an artist, and she draws great. She is a great artist. But every time I'd look at a picture, it was dark. Her grandma would come to me and say, preacher, pray for me. Preacher, do you have any counselors? Preacher, can you help me any kind of way? And I said, ma'am, the only thing I know to do is take her to Jesus and take her to him and just trust him with her. I want to tell you what, fast forward 2 years, just this spring on a Wednesday morning in a chapel service when we had virtual school for our young people because of Corona and they wouldn't go on Wednesday, she come to chapel that morning and God did something in her heart. God broke her. Thank God she got delivered. Hallelujah. And before we were done out of chapel, this little quiet girl who would never say a word in public, she done got up and come to the front and said, preacher, can I say a word? She said, I was in a dark place. I wanted to die. She said, but the Lord has delivered me and brought me out. Hallelujah. Keep taking them to Jesus, church.